Hi, this is Steve Chandler, and today I wanted to talk about information versus transformation. Now, this is a choice. I can choose a life of, an hour of, a day of information, or I can choose transformation. The minute I see the choice, life changes for me. But what happens if I don't see that choice? What happens if I have a choice, but I don't know it? I don't see it. Now, that's the most interesting part, I believe, about transformation and about living a life differently than I used to live. In my life, looking back over the years, I was really stuck for many, many years. In fact, I was stuck in life like a car is stuck in the mud. I was stuck. My life was stuck in so many categories. For more years than most of you have been alive, who will be listening to this? I figured that out. You don't have to do the exact math on that. But for more years than you have been alive, I was stuck. Now, that's a pretty sad thing because one doesn't need to be stuck. If you see the choice between being stuck and not being stuck, and you see the access to becoming unstuck. And one of the accesses to becoming unstuck is knowing the difference between information and transformation. Let me give you an example. I give seminars now, and I notice when people come into the room, they sit down and they're looking up to the front of the room, and I can almost see it in their eyes that there are some people there for information, and there are some people there for transformation. And transformation simply means change. My life is going to change out of what I learn. In other words, I'm going to apply what I learn. I'm going to test what I learn. And I'm going to experiment with what I've learned today. So you can almost see it in somebody's eyes that they're saying to themselves, which of these tools can I use? What's he going to give me that I might be able to use in the world? And by the way, that's one of the reasons I do a lot of exercises and games and interactive coaching and things like that inside of a seminar because I want the transformation to begin. I want them to start applying many of the distinctions I deliver right there in the room. And most of my seminars have that element. And if they don't have that element, they have a very extensive Q&A where the principles I'm teaching are challenged and people can really look for how might I apply this in my life and why does this so far look like I can't apply it, and then we'll work on that. So those who are there for information will often tell you that, man, I've been going to seminars for years. I go to all these self-help programs. I've signed up for this. I did Tony Robbins years ago. I did the Firewalk. I did that. I did this. And still nothing changes. As a matter of fact, when I was doing nothing but corporate training and organizational training, usually when I talked to the CEO before I went in, one of the first things he would say to me is, you know, training comes and training goes, but nothing's ever different. Training comes, training goes, and nothing's ever different. Well, my challenge upon hearing that was to have things be different. To have things be different after the training. Now, how do you do that? You don't do that through information. Information alone does not do that. Let's look at the example of playing the piano, because playing the piano is like making money. If I could really see, for years I didn't see. I didn't know the choice between information and transformation. I didn't see it. So what I would do was I would read books and go to seminars and read books and go to seminars and watch videos and listen to audios and go to seminars and read books. And a little bit of change, sure, but nothing really dramatic until I got it, until I saw what transformation is versus information. So playing the piano is like making money. It's the same process. If I want to make more money, I will step into transformation. In other words, I'll change what it is that's making money now. You would have to make more money. I would change who I was. I would change how I was operating. I would change certain things. Transformation is change. If I want to learn to play the piano, for example, I wouldn't just read books about the piano. I wouldn't even just watch YouTube videos of people showing me how to play the piano, because I could do that for years and years. And then someone could call me up on stage and say, okay, Steve, you've been reading about the piano for years. You've been going to piano seminars for years. And you've been watching instructional videos about the piano for years. So now show us. All this information you have, show us. Show us what you can do with it. And I would sit at the piano, and of course, there wouldn't be anything I could do with it. Nothing at all. That's information for you. Thank you very much. What went wrong? I thought I would learn how to play the piano by reading all these books about how to play the piano and watching the videos and listening to the audios. And I even went to seminars on how to play the piano. Van Cliburn himself was teaching. Jerry Lee Lewis gave a seminar. We all got drunk with him, but still, should have remembered something. So, what's wrong here? What's missing? Can you see it? Can people see this? Because it doesn't look like they can. I talk to people today. I go into various places to talk, and I see the same people there that I saw 2 years ago, where I'm repeating what I was talking about, and they have the exact same problems. And they raise their hands and ask the same questions about their lives. And they're telling me their lives aren't working. They still don't know how to do this. And they still don't know how to do that. And the reason they don't is that information is all they've got. And I say, well, have you read this book? Have you watched that? Yeah, I read that book. Yeah, I thought it was great. I really liked that book. And I really enjoyed the seminar you gave 2 years ago on this same subject. Mm-hmm. So what's going on? Well, I don't know. I don't know how to, and I don't know how to, and I don't know how to. So the problem with information is that it pushes you into a how-to world. So I've used this example a lot, but I would love to use it like every hour on the hour with someone until they got it. And that is the metaphor of the bicycle. You can read a lot of books on how to ride a bicycle. You can go to a lot of seminars on how to ride a bicycle. You can get all the information in the world. You can read Lance Armstrong on how to ride a bicycle. But if you're not riding the bicycle, you won't be able to ride a bicycle. They can call me to the front of the room and they can say, show us what all your information on the piano has led to here. And I can sit down in front of the audience and not play anything because I've bought into some false idea that information has value in and of itself. And if I could just get more of it, I might figure this thing out called life. That's why I'm at this seminar now. Now, I told you before that there were two kinds of people who walk into the room. There are people who have their mindset, their heart set, their eyes focused on transformation when they walk in. I'm going to find what I can use, and I'm going to take it into the world and apply it. And you can see that. And they do that. I'll give you the example of Rich Litvin. Rich Litvin is a very prosperous, very successful life coach right now. And he wasn't a few years ago. He read a lot of books, and he came to one of my coaching school seminar type things, and I could see it in his eyes that he wanted something that he could use. He did not simply want more information. And his questions and his participation and the way he pulled from the course what he needed to take out into the world and apply and test and experiment with, that was very obvious from the start. And every month he made his reports and his income went up, 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 up. And people would turn to him and say, tell me how to do it. What are you doing that I'm not doing? And what he was doing that they weren't doing was called doing. That's what he was doing that they weren't doing, doing. And they were just absorbing, accumulating information, learning, learning, learning. And he was, take it, grab it, run out, and work with it. And he improved like crazy. So he was all about transformation. And some of the people in the room were about information, taking notes like crazy, asking me how this compares to other coaches' information, listening to audios like crazy, but their income, their bank account, didn't reflect any transformation. So there are two ways to take a seminar. There are two ways to read a personal growth book. One is for information. The other is for transformation. Now, I know some people, when they get a book that really lights them up, will start to read it again. Once they're finished with it, they open it up right to page one, and now they're taking notes, and now they're really reading it. Because there's an attitude there, I'm going to use this, instead of, oh, I love this information. Wow, what a powerful book. I loved your book. What great information. And I have people tell me a lot, went to your seminar, what great information. And I know they're lost. I know they're stuck. Because they're all about the information. They're not about the transformation. We have choices in life that we don't see. I can come to a seminar and have it be transformative, or I can come to a seminar and have it be informative. So one book I have been reading for transformation, and I'm on my third time through, is by Matt Fury, F-U-R-E-Y, and he's a friend of mine, and I've worked with him on a project before, really admire what he does. He's written a great book called Expect to Win, Matt Fury. So he has a chapter called Your Great Leap Forward, and that's kind of ironic, kind of in quotes, because really what the chapter's about is not a great leap forward at all. Because that's what stops us, is the desire to make some huge, great leap forward, not understanding that transformation can occur beautifully with tiny, tiny steps. So Matt Fury in his book quotes John Wooden, the great coach who coached more national championship teams than any other college coach. And here's what John Wooden says. When you improve a little each day, eventually big things occur. When you improve conditioning a little each day, eventually you have a big improvement in conditioning. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but eventually a big gain is made. Don't look for the big, quick improvement. Seek the small improvement one day at a time. That's the only way it happens. And when it happens, it lasts. So here he is recommending small improvements each day. I remember when I did some work with Dr. Nathaniel Brandon, great psychologist, great author of many wonderful books on self-esteem. And one of his exercises that he would give his clients would be to ask yourself, if I improved my expressions of appreciation by 5%. Now that's a sentence stem, he calls it, and then you put 10 endings. If I improved my appreciation by 5%, my endings would be, and you just give endings to that really quickly, and I've used this exercise in groups. 5% improvement in appreciation. If I improved my conditioning activities by 5%, and then you put down, well, I would take an extra walk every day. I would do this. I would do that. I would lift weights 2 times a week instead of once. I would do this. And even those things are more than 5%. But here's the point behind it all. If I'm willing to go out and do little things, small improvements in all the areas where I actually want some huge leap forward in, the leap occurs. Why? Because I'm into transformation. I'm actually taking the actions that transformation requires. So let's look at the example of me coming up in front of the room to play the piano. If I had mixed in with all that information of piano books I read, piano seminars I went to, if I had mixed in a commitment to do something very small, a practice, let's say I'm going to put 15 minutes a day in on the piano. I'm going to sit at the piano for 15 minutes, and I'm going to go through the exercises the books recommended. Just 15 minutes, that's it. That's all I'll do. If I feel like doing more, I will, but I'll always do my 15. Now look what happens. A few years later, and I'm really playing the piano. So this happens with a book I'm writing. Gee, I just can't get this book off the ground. So many of my clients who are writing books will tell me, I'm stuck. And I just bought 3 books on how to finish your book. How to write a book, how to write a novel, how to finish your book. I've been reading these books. So the reason I haven't made any progress on my book, I've been reading these books on how to write a book. And so I've got to finish these because they're giving me wonderful information about how to write a book. And so if I'm coaching them, I say, hey, that's great, but here's what I would like you to do if you accept my challenge. 15 minutes a day on your book. You don't have to write anything great. Just darken the page. Just do it. 15 minutes and then bail on yourself. Because by doing that, what you're reading will become transformation, not just information. Because you're doing it, you're putting it out in the world, you're interacting with the world based on what you're learning in your books. Because you know the difference between transformation and information. And again, it sounds kind of silly, but so many people that I work with don't know they have a choice between the two. What they tell me is that they are dumbfounded and depressed and disheartened, discouraged by all the information they've taken in on this subject and by total lack of progress in the real world on this subject. They're pretty disheartened. And what are they looking for? Are they looking for what's wrong with their premise, their worldview? No. They're looking for more information, better information. And they'll call me and say, hey, I just found out about a new guy who teaches how to do this in a radical new way. I think I'm signing up for his course. And so that's just more information. How's that going to work for you? If a person writes 15 minutes a day, radical change happens in the world. He now has a manuscript after a while. So if a person plays the piano for 15 minutes, radical things happen. And it doesn't even have to be 15 minutes. There are some people listening to this who are so accustomed to their own comfort zone, have really built up a form of agoraphobia. And that is fear of leaving home. And home is my comfort zone. It's where I'm comfortable. I'm not comfortable writing this book. I don't know how to make it great. I don't know how to make it perfect. I don't even know how to make it good. I'm not comfortable writing it yet. I haven't been inspired. I'm not comfortable playing the piano. I don't know how to play it well. I don't know if I should use this or study that or learn to read music first. And I don't know how to do this. And you hear it over and over. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do this. But the problem here is always that there's nothing going on that would transform that. So there are some people so comfortable inside their comfort zone and so agoraphobic that they can't leave home even for 15 minutes. Really, truly. So here's what Matt Fury says. If you don't think you have enough time to clean your home or office, then commit to cleaning it for 1 minute. Get started and see if you can stop in 1 minute. I bet you can't. How much could you improve your life if you took a small step each day on something you've been putting off? How much could you change your life if you did the following each day? 1 minute of exercise. 1 minute of deep breathing, 1 minute of cleaning, 1 minute to learn a new word or phrase, smiled and said hello to one person, read for 1 minute. This is what Matt Fury writes. And Matt Fury was a world champion martial artist, a national champion wrestler, really prosperous internet guru, really prosperous health and exercise guru, author, teacher, seminar leader. And he recommends 1 minute. 1 minute. Now, why? That sounds kind of silly. Why 1 minute? How would that change my whole life? Well, it really has you doing things. And even 1 minute outside your comfort zone is powerful because it stretches you. You now are in action. You now have more things you can do easily because you're doing it 1 minute a day. The real problem here is the comfort zone. All transformation occurs outside the comfort zone. That's why children learn to ride a bike by jumping up on the bike. Children learn languages really quickly. If you take a child into a foreign country, the child will learn the language very quickly, but not because they've got some kind of language program they've bought. It's because they're out there in the world interacting, taking that small step over and over and over, trying out the new language with other people who speak it. And adults don't. Adults retreat into some kind of learning situation where they read books about the language and watch videos and listen to audios about the language, but the going is slow. We're going to talk about that more on the next track called Learning Languages. When I was in the Army, I went to the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California. And for a year, I studied Russian. And it was very interesting. It was different than studying a language in college or high school because I had studied languages. In other words, I had taken the information route to languages, studying them in high school and in college. But now I was in the Army, and the Army doesn't fool around. The Army is not a real cerebral, literate place. The Army wants you to learn the language so that you can use the language out in the world for military strategy and reasons and defense, etc. So when they put you in the Defense Language Institute, they make sure that it's transformation-based and not just information. They have you interact all day as you're learning your language. You stand up in front of the room and you talk to another student in the language you're learning, and the other student talks to you. The teachers in the course, we had six teachers each day. We went into six different classrooms. So we had six different teachers, and our teachers spoke only Russian. And so to ask them a question, we would have to ask it in Russian, and they would speak to us in Russian, and no English was allowed in the room. Right from the start, by the way. And so you can imagine that we had to transform to get by. We had to not just inform ourselves about vocabulary and grammar and how to express things. We had to transform from someone who did not know Russian, could not use Russian, to someone who could actually use it from day one. And that's why it was so successful. I mean, they turned out people who were very fluent and very good in the language at the outset. Now, don't ask me to speak it now because it's been so many years and I haven't practiced. But here's the thing. I could learn it very quickly again. I could pick it up very quickly again through transformation once again. You drop me in St. Petersburg, I'm out there for a day or two, and I'm back. So transformation really works when you learn a language. That's why young people, children, learn languages so quickly in a foreign country. I went to Mexico once, and I took a course in Spanish designed for diplomats and government workers who come into Mexico and have to learn to communicate really quickly. So it wasn't an academic course in Spanish. It wasn't one of those sit back and take a test and read books and things like that. It was highly interactive, speak only Spanish, let's go. Now, the only reason I bring that up is because the whole secret to getting better at something, learning to make money, learning to become more fit, healthier, better relationships, all the things that people read books for and go to seminars for and try to learn, but stay stuck with and don't really learn, the whole secret of it is in these two ways of learning a language, the information-based way or transformation-based language learning. I saw an ad on TV about some program where you could learn a foreign language, and they were going on and on about it, and it was really an excited spokesperson doing the infomercial. And he actually said, all you have to do is listen, and you'll learn the language. Oh, no, no, no. False advertising. This is the whole problem with people who are information addicts, people who keep trying to change themselves through the means of adding more information that they didn't have before. I can tell you it doesn't work. It never works. Only transformation really works. Only transformation. It is just ridiculously silly to tell someone they can learn this language just by listening to it. Just turn it on, put the CD in, put the headphones on, go about your daily walk, and you will know this new language. No, you won't. You won't be able to use it. Sure, you'll recognize words if you hear them long enough. You won't be able to use it because there's no transformation there. There's no interaction. There's no testing. There's no experimentation. And there's no failure. Now, that's the problem with transformation. That's what keeps people inside their comfort zones and afraid to transform, or afraid to take the action that would have the transformation occur. It requires failure. It requires an injury to one's self-esteem, or at least one's fragile self-identity. I don't fail at things, a lot of people tell me. Well, good, but neither do you succeed. So learning something requires failure. I mean, being able to change into someone who can do something requires failure. You have to make a mistake to get it. You have to say the word the wrong way to really get the right way. You have to say something embarrassing to someone in Russian to laugh and correct yourself and get it right and really get it in your heart. The same is true with anything. You're playing the piano and you hit a bad note. You're singing, you're learning to sing, and you sing flat or you can't reach a note. These are the things that transform all these failures. This is why people get addicted to information, because there's no possibility of failure in information. I'm sitting gathering information, reading one more book, because all I'm doing is bringing in, overloading, accumulating, stuffing myself with information. I can't really fail at that. I can do that forever. But if I go out on the street and I speak to someone in a language I'm not used to, I could really embarrass myself, but that's where transformation happens. If I sit down at the piano and someone walks in the room and I try to play this piece and it's really off, I could really embarrass myself, but that's where transformation occurs, always outside that comfort zone. That's why a great coach, like John Wooden, says, just do a little bit, get a little bit better, take 1 minute and do it, because that gets you accustomed to doing things outside your comfort zone, and to having it be okay to do that, to do it a lot, in fact, throughout the day. And by doing that, I transform. Now, you have a choice, and I have a choice. I can choose to play the piano 15 minutes a day. I can choose to do a language in such a way that there's plenty of interaction. In other words, I'll study Spanish, but I will speak with my Spanish-speaking friend for 10 minutes a day. That's an action. And one of the funny things that happens when you integrate transformation into your life, the information becomes more lively. There was a time when I was having a hard time years ago when I used to sell seminars and keynotes. That's all I did. many years ago, and I was having a hard time selling. And I thought the solution was to keep taking sales courses and reading sales books. And I read all kinds of books on selling. And that was all very interesting. And it gave me lots and lots of information on how selling happens. But the sales weren't occurring for me. And finally, one day, I sat down with my friend, Lindsay Brady, who's a hypnotherapist and an author and a really great thinker in the world of personal growth and transformation. And I said, I want to do a deal with you where I actually sell for a certain amount of minutes each day, and I log it, and I log in and log out, and then I send you at the end of the day how many minutes I actually spent selling in the conversation, because all sales occur inside a conversation. No sale has ever occurred outside of a conversation. And yet there I was outside of the conversation reading books. So I made a pact with him and he agreed to hold me accountable. And so I logged my minutes and I reported them to him. And there was just a matter of minutes. It wasn't like I'll spend 5 hours a day selling or anything like that. It was a really small step. I'd spend a certain amount of minutes. And everything changed when I did that. My sales went way up. And that was because transformation was now occurring instead of just information accumulating. We have a choice with all of this of finding some area where we want to be different and stronger and bigger and have a big breakthrough, reducing it down to the smallest step we can think of that would keep us in action, and simply choosing to do it. Simply deciding that this is what will be occurring this week. I will be doing this. And putting a chart up on the wall so I can check it off and I can watch and have the satisfaction of knowing that I'm doing my 15 minutes. I'm doing my 1 minute, as Matt Fury said, on all these areas. Just 1 minute. And I'm actually doing it and recording it. Now, when that happens, things begin to change in life. This isn't something, by the way, I have to have a new personality for. This isn't something where I have to find the motivation to do it, because I'm reducing it to such a small amount that I don't need a huge amount of motivation or willpower to do it. I've taken that objection off the table by doing it this way. All I now have to do is choose to do it, to decide to do it. It's like calling heads or tails. Just choose one. Here's the coin. We're flipping it before the game. It's up in the air. You have to choose one. Now, am I going to do 1 minute of exercise a day or not? 10 minutes or not? Stephen McGee, on a program I did, audio program, talked about getting his clients to agree when they were totally out of shape to do a 20-minute walk. And then tomorrow walk for 21 minutes. And the next day, walk for 22. Will you agree to do that? Will you choose to do that? It's not like, do you have the character to do that? Do you have the willpower to do that? It's just yes or no. That's all it is. And because it's just a choice, anyone can do it. I've never met anyone who can't go radically into transformation if they were willing to make a choice to do so. Now, why don't they? The reason most people don't is because they, first of all, have kind of an all-or-nothing mindset, like, no, I want to play concert piano. I want to be a great pianist. I want to be great at this. I want to sell a ton. I want to really be fit. I want to be like Bruce Lee. And so they have this big picture, which is fine. But then they think, boy, what would it take for me to be like that? I've never had much motivation. I'm not good at this. And so now they're out again. They picture big, and then they bail out. Can you relate? I only did it for 40-some years, and so I can relate to that until I saw where real transformation comes from, and it comes from 1 minute, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, those little increments where I choose to do it. People say to me, how do I motivate myself to get better at this? Well, it isn't a matter of motivating yourself. It's a matter of doing small things. And you can do them without motivation. Let's say I've chosen to put myself on a program of playing the piano 15 minutes a day. A minimum of 15. I don't go to bed without putting in my 15. That's easy to do. I only have to do it today. I do it one day at a time. I don't think in big terms. I just think of, have I done my 15? And that's a choice I made to put this in my life. It didn't take a lot of personality. It didn't take a lot of persistence or willpower or character or any of the things we stop ourselves with and shame ourselves about. All it took was me putting a chart on the wall and choosing to do this. Just like, would you like chocolate, ice cream, or vanilla? It's just a choice. It's not like I have to develop some kind of decision-making power before I choose chocolate or vanilla, or I have to learn all about the different nutritional variations of the two. It's just a choice. And so to learn Spanish is just a choice. What action am I willing to take? That's the choice. And so now I take this action, and things are different. This seems almost too simple. It's like, why would you make an audio program about something that's really obvious to everyone? And my answer is, it is so not obvious to everyone that it's shocking. I considered myself extremely enlightened and perceptive and intelligent for years and years and years, and I didn't see it. I did not see the choice I could make for transformation over information. I didn't see it. I kept adding more and more information and wondering why things didn't work out and then questioning me, like, well, you're not very persistent. You don't have the right kind of willpower. You don't have the courage. You don't have the stamina. You don't have the sense of purpose that other people do. And I'd make up all these stories about myself that would put me in a bad light, that would make me feel even less like doing things after I heard these stories about me. People do that. They think learning to play the piano requires something amazing. They think becoming prosperous, paying off their debts, and having a strong financial position requires something amazing. And all it is a choice. And all it is being able to see the choice and being able to be willing to transform instead of merely informing yourself.